Moments of beauty pass in a flash. Time slips away like the flow of a river. What you call progress is just a rediscovery of things forgotten. At the start of the 12th century, Kaifeng in China's Henan province was the greatest city in the world. In those days it was called Beijing and was the capital of a dynasty that had ruled the Chinese Empire for 140 years. At that time, China produced many talented poets and saw Romanticism blossoming. In late February 1100 AD, 18-year-old Prince Zhao Ji, the 11th son of Emperor Shen Zong, suddenly found himself thrust onto the political stage. His elder brother, the reigning emperor, suddenly died. Ji had been brought up as an artist and was unprepared for what was now expected of him. The prince was, in fact, a genuinely talented artist, and hopes for the reign of the man who would be known to history as Emperor Huizong ran high. The young emperor ascended the Xuande Gate Tower in the spring, the most auspicious season of the year. His excited subjects paid their respects to him in the capital that now belonged to him. Under the Song, China had advanced into the early modern era of statehood, with great achievements in administration, commerce, and technology, which matched those in the arts. How could the new emperor leave his mark and ensure his dynasty would flourish for 10,000 years? From Peng Lai to the Beech Blossom Spring, utopian visions had transfixed the Chinese imagination. Emperor Huizong's was on a different level altogether. Uncertain of his place in the scheme of things, weighed down by unexpected responsibility and beguiled by silver-tongued fortune tellers, his mind gravitated to what he must do. He would build a garden, but not just any garden. His Ganyua garden would be like none ever seen before. The emperor believed that by creating a piece of heaven on earth, he could entice the gods to come and reside in his capital, and thus ensure his dynasty's succession forever and ever. This painting, Listening to the Qin, is attributed to Emperor Huizong himself. The implied relationships of the figures in the painting provide some clues. Emperor Huizong is dressed in a black gown and playing the Gu Qin. Sitting in the lower right corner in a red gown is his chief minister, Cai Jing. Cai was a painter, gourmet, and politician. He had served the emperor for 25 years, during which he managed to overcome all the usual vicissitudes of officialdom. The construction of the Genyue Garden required a huge amount of money. It was a shocking extravagance for the Song, which, by the standards of most imperial dynasties, were somewhat frugal. Cai facilitated the emperor's wishes, assuring him that the national treasury was well funded for such a project. The porcelain and artistry of the Song is famed for its restrained good taste and elegance. Cai apparently told the emperor that foreign envoys were unimpressed by this aesthetic simplicity. He goaded the gullible emperor with the idea that to mark his greatness, an emperor should either expand his territories or found an age of prosperity. Cai endorsed the Genyue project as one of suitable grandeur. One can but suspect he was one of its financial beneficiaries. The construction of the Genyue Garden began for real in 1117, when the emperor was 35 years old. It was sited to the northeast of the palace. At its center was to be a series of massive artificial mountain peaks, the Genyue themselves. Soothsayers assured the emperor that the raising of these peaks would guarantee the stability of his rule. The great rocks for the Genyue Peaks were transported to Kaifeng by ship from Lake Tai near the mouth of the Yangtze. Emperor Huizong was a cultured man when it came to the arts. Not only was he a proficient painter, but also a talented calligrapher and Gu Qin player, and he had written a treatise on Taoism. The building of the Genyue Garden was not the emperor's first foray into garden design, and he eagerly applied himself to the task at hand.
Chinese 来塑造成一种石山，而这个石山还是土石结合，能够种树，能够形成一个二元自然。
它也是经过强化性的五六年的一种经营啊，不断的往里边就是加入全国各地最好的东西。宋徽宗他的人文情怀吧，他不仅是皇家的啊，他更像是个文化人，他实际上使得中国山水园往另外一个层面推了一把。
The painting Auspicious Cranes is one of the paintings definitively attributed to Emperor Huizong, still in existence today. It is said that in the first lunar month of 1112, flocks of cranes suddenly appeared over the capital and danced in the air. The people were filled with joy and considered it a good omen. The emperor was no less excited.He painted and wrote a poem about the cranes. It was a time charged with omens. For 3 years in a row, in 1107, 1108, and 1109, the normally turbid, silt-laden waters of the Yellow River ran clear. Rumors abounded that it presaged the appearance of a great sage.It seemed Emperor Huizong's reign couldn't be more blessed. But the omens were not blessings from heaven. They could have been better read as warnings of climate change, with temperatures dropping in the northern hemisphere and crops failing.Northern tribes, suffering from the long harsh winters, turned envious eyes on the prosperity to the south. Amongst those driven to seek resources from warmer climes were the Jurchen from Manchuria, ancestors of the Manchu, who rode south under their leader, Wanyan Aguda. When a people are fighting for survival, anything that stands in their way will be annihilated.While the Liao struggled to contain the Jurchen, the Song Empire further south was blissfully unaware of the dangers that lay at hand. In 1118,The year after construction work on the Genyue began, all appeared well in the Empire of the Song. That year, the Jurchen leader, Wanyan Aguda, sent envoys to Emperor Huizong proposing an alliance to crush the state of Liao. Emperor Huizong was eager to accept.This was his chance to expand his imperial domains and secure a place among the great emperors of the past. It would be a foundation to which his garden would form an everlasting tribute. In 1120, the church and armies captured the main Khitan capital. Threatened from two sides and divided within, within 5 years the state of Liao was completely overrun. The last emperor of the Liao was captured by the Jurchen, who had by then established themselves as the Jin dynasty. Between them, the Song and the Jin had crushed the Liao. But the Jin had not been impressed by what they had seen of the Song armies. To protect the dynasty from possible coups, the Song had long sought to weaken their military. The empire was tottering. The Genua Garden was not the cause, but it was certainly one of the symptoms. Emperor Huizong had been on the throne for 2 decades, and he had lost touch with the needs of his people. The peaks of the Genua might be those of a volcano.
不计成本，肆无忌惮。你到老百姓家看见哪一棵树长得漂亮，好，运个黄绢，一裹着，征收了。要挖出去运出去，那院子，你得拆了。走的是水路，那水门过不去，就毁城门，桥过不去啊，拆桥了。碰见什么挡了，都得拆掉。说它的祸害，东南地区很长时间，而且很严重。
In the spring of 1122, Emperor Huizong was able to get a first view of his new home for the gods. The emperor was full of anticipation as he reached that northeast corner of the palace. Behind that last gate lay the Genua.
He used the forest of the world to create a
山环水绕的山系，它的北部山叫更远，南部山叫寿山，所以合起来叫寿山更远。在当时世界上人口最多、最繁华的大都市里边，营造了这么一个像仙境般的山水园林，集天下名山大川的 秀美，有很多珍禽异兽，驯化的仙鹤，成群成群地可以翩翩起舞。多样化的这个园林手法进行了各种各样的尝试，它的实践其实是空前的。它是不计成本的，也就是它是举国之力在做这么一个园林。
真的是一次伟大的实践，造园史上伟大的实践。In
1127, at their second attempt, the Jin captured the Song capital. The city was sacked and the garden destroyed. The dream turned into a nightmare.
清江地，吹彻梅花。
Among the spoils of war for the conquering Jurchen were the new emperor Qin Zong and his father Hui Zong, who had abdicated just before the final collapse. It was an ignominious ending. In 1135, after being held captive for 9 years, Hui Zong died. Aged 52. The Genua Garden was a magnificent folly, and a folly of magnificence. Not for the first or last time, its destruction ensured the power of its legend. The ideals represented by the Genua have continued to shape the Chinese garden ever since. Its shadows can be seen everywhere in the gardens of later generations.